Hello, I'm Jennifer Neville with this week's Middle East report. Coming up, Israel closes its embassy in Ireland, events in Syria changes the region's landscape, and small Jewish community in Syria could face an uncertain future. In protest by recent moves taken by Ireland as relating to Israel, the government of Israel is closing its embassy in Ireland. And Prime Minister Netanyahu held an on-site military briefing inside Syria. With more, here is news correspondent Kent Allen.
The row between Israel and Ireland continues, with the latest news that the Foreign Minister of Israel has ordered to close the embassy of Israel in Ireland. This does not mean that diplomatic relations are cut off, but it represents a downgrading in relations between the two countries. Ireland is currently maintaining its embassy in Israel. Earlier this month, Ireland joined the petition to investigate Israel at the United Nations International Court of Justice over the charge that Israel is committing genocide in its war against Hamas in Gaza. This was the last straw for Israel. This comes on the heels of Ireland recognizing the state of Palestine earlier this year. Ireland is seen by countries as a gateway for trade into the European Union, and currently about 2% of Ireland's total exports are to Israel. In other news, Prime Minister Netanyahu held an on-site briefing at the summit of Syria's highest mountain, which is located just outside the capital city of Damascus. When the central Syrian government collapsed last week, the Israeli army rushed in to occupy the few mile buffer zone between the two countries in order to prevent rebel forces from entering the buffer zone along the border with Israel. Part of the buffer zone, now taken over by Israel's army, includes the summit of that mountain. It was also a symbolic move for Israel's leader to stand on top of the highest mountain in the region. By Jewish tradition, that mountain was where God revealed to Abraham his covenant with the land of Israel, and also it overlooks the road to Damascus, as recorded in the New Testament, where Paul encountered the risen Jesus. Israel says that it will retain control of the buffer zone in Syria in order to wait to see how the new government in Syria develops. This is Kent Allen reporting from Jerusalem.
In other news, in response to the events over the last couple of weeks leading to the overthrow of President Bashar, leading to a change in the landscape in the Middle East. Earlier, I invited Mina from CSW's advocacy team to share more about events leading up to the overthrow of President Bashar.
Everything started on the 27th of November when a coalition of rebel groups, anti-Assad groups, launched a surprise attack against Assad's forces and his Iranian and Russian backers. And within 4 days, they managed to take Aleppo, which is the second largest city in Syria. And as they continued to advance, Assad's forces crumbled and panicked, and they retreated very quickly, which opened the routes to the rebel forces to advance south. And within the next 3 days, they took the cities of Hama and Homs, the third and fourth largest cities in Syria, which opened the route to Damascus. They circled Damascus, and Damascus fell in 2 days. And Assad fled to Moscow with his family after emptying the central bank.
So what is likely to happen now? I understand that a coalition government has taken over. So can you say more about this? And does this coalition consist of some of the rebel armies that overthrew Assad?
Well, the coalition of rebel groups that defeated Assad, it's basically a coalition of different Islamist groups, some of which loyal to Turkey. But the whole coalition is led by and spearheaded by a group called HTS, which is a proscribed terrorist group. Surprisingly, their behavior in all the cities they took has been reassuring. So throughout the whole operation, these groups sought to reassure religious minorities, including Christians, Yazidis, and ethnic minorities, that they will be protected, all of their places of worship and freedom to worship will be protected and respected. And they honored these promises. And we haven't received any reports of any violations or attacks targeting religious minorities or women or other vulnerable groups. So this is reassuring, but obviously everybody is worried, everybody is fearful, everybody is concerned, because things are still unfolding. The future is unpredictable. The situation is still fluid. So people are cautiously optimistic, let's put it like that. So there is an atmosphere of optimism, but people are seriously concerned, because we are talking about hardline jihadists. It's still too early to judge and make conclusions. But as I said, people are cautiously optimistic.
And as far as the Christian communities are concerned, how have they responded to this? Because they've been through a lot, haven't they, under Assad's reign for over 20 years.
Assad ruled the country with blood and terror. So he oppressed, terrorized everyone, including Christians. Everybody suffered. So now it's a new dawn. And as I said, a new beginning. It's a new reality on the ground, like Christians and other vulnerable groups have no influence and have no military power, no power like that can change the balance of power on the ground. So they have to deal with the reality on the ground, and we pray and hope for the best. Mm-hmm. But there is an atmosphere of optimism, because the way these groups and their leadership behaved has been reassuring.
And how will this impact the rest of the Middle East?
Obviously, this will change the entire dynamics and the geopolitics in the region. It's a big defeat for Russia and Iran and their allies. And obviously, Turkey and the West in general are happy and hoping that this change will bring more stability and peace to the region. It's a big defeat for Hezbollah in Lebanon. So this will weaken Hezbollah and Iran in Lebanon, and hopefully will bring more stability and reassurance to the Christian community in Lebanon and other communities like the Sunnis and the Druze. And hopefully the Lebanese people will be able to move on and elect a new president. Now, this is a big question about Israel. How Israel is going to respond to this new regime, we still don't know, because for many, many years they dealt with a weak Iranian puppet on their northern borders. Assad kept the borders safe and secure. Now there is a new reality on the ground. It would be interesting to see how Israel will respond.
So in all that you've been sharing, Mina, how would you encourage our listeners to pray at this time?
We need to pray for peace and reconciliation and grace from God for everyone. And I would encourage everyone to pray for the whole nation, not only Christians and religious minorities, the whole nation. Everybody suffered. Assad family ruled Syria since 1970. We are talking about 54 years of brutal dictatorship. Everybody suffered. So we need to pray for everyone, for peace and stability and reconciliation, and also for God's grace and wisdom for the new rulers, so that God would give them wisdom and vision to establish a regime that respects democracy and human rights and provides equal citizenship for everyone.
That was Mina. For more details, go to www.csw.org.uk. Finally, the Jewish community in Syria was once the most prestigious communities, spanning from the capital, Damascus, into the north. However, under the iron rule of the Assad family since the 1960s, it has largely vanished. Jewish heritage sites and synagogues may still stand, but the number of community members today can be counted on one hand. Only a few Jews remain in Damascus. Now, with the new leadership in place, it seems that new winds are blowing in Syria, but this will need to be tested over time by both Israel and the remaining religious minorities, including the few remaining Jews. Meanwhile, please pray for Syria at this time of change, and especially for the Christian community and other minorities at Christmas time, and pray for Israel and for the ongoing negotiations will see the release of all hostages. I would like to take this opportunity of wishing all my listeners a happy Christmas and a peaceful New Year. This ends this edition of the Middle East Report. Please join me again next time for the latest news from Israel and the Middle East. For more details, go to onlinemiddleeastreport.com.